听力课堂，听 class.com。
Welcome to Volume 1 of the Princeton Review's Word Smart Vocabulary Building Program. You're going to increase your vocabulary by at least 50 words.
Although you may not be familiar with them now, these words are not particularly difficult or esoteric. Our goal is to give you useful, powerful words that show up every day in a variety of contexts, from newspapers to movies, from corporate memos to your favorite novels and television shows.
Not only will you get more from your reading, you'll also be able to communicate more effectively. The words you use say a lot about you. We're going to help you learn vocabulary that says you're smart, persuasive, and informed.
Here's how our system works. We'll break down the word list into topic groups. You'll find it's easier to remember new words in the context of a larger group of similar words than it is to memorize an arbitrary list.
You'll also find that many words with similar meanings also have similar roots,prefixes, and suffixes. That is to say, the basic building blocks of the words show up repeatedly.
That way, if nothing else, you'll become familiar with those building blocks and you'll be able to crack open the meanings of countless numbers of words.
Each group of words is broken into complementary halves. For example, one group might be called hot and cold. That group has two parts to it, so we'll examine each half individually. First hot, then cold. Then, when both halves have been covered,We'll review the group as a whole and mix things up a bit.
You'll be hearing word lists and definitions, as well as stories and speeches highlighting the words, all in rather quick succession. But this is your course to listen to and absorb at your speed. So whenever you feel like listening to a section again, by all means do so, as often or as little as you like. We're certainly not going anywhere.
Without further ado, then, let's get started with the first group of words.
All right, here we go.The first group of words all fall under the heading of all or nothing. We'll be covering words that describe quantities, both large and small. Let's start by looking at the all words, words that mean a lot.
Okay, here we go. Prodigious. Prodigious means enormous or extraordinary. To fill the Grand Canyon with ping pong balls would be a prodigious undertaking. It would be both extraordinary and enormous.
If I may point out here, there are a prodigious number of words that begin with the prefix pro.
That's certainly true. As we'll see, many of those words have very similar meanings. And even when their meanings differ, that prefix has the same effect. It almost always signifies the notion of a large amount of something. Also, it can mean for something, as in favor of.
Then the connection between these next two words makes a lot of sense. Prodigious sounds a lot like...prodigy, which means an extremely talented child. For example, the young prodigy played all of Beethoven on her harmonica. This prodigy has prodigious talents.
Exactly. Pro has the same effect on both of those words. The same is true of this next word, prolific. Prolific means producing a lot of something. It can also mean fruitful or fertile. A prolific writer writes a lot of books.Picasso was both a prolific painter and a prolific lover. He created thousands of paintings and had almost as many romantic affairs.
Aha! Well, prolific sounds very much like proliferate, which means to spread or grow rapidly.
That's because they're connected.
They are?
Yep, they share the same roots, and you can see how their meanings are alike.
Yes, I see.
Good. So shall we continue?
Why not? We were on proliferate, right?Honeybees, for example, proliferated when we filled our yard with flowering plants. Or, the recent arms treaty promises an end to decades of nuclear weapons proliferation.
After something has been allowed to proliferate for long enough, when you have a whole lot of something, good or bad, you have a plethora. A plethora is an excess. Try this. Letting the Air Force use our backyard as a bombing range created a plethora of problems.Or, of course, by becoming familiar with the prefix pro, one can better understand the meanings of a plethora of words.
A person who has a lot of something, one could say a plethora, should be, if they're nice, munificent. That is to say, they like to give their stuff to others. They're generous or lavish. Take this sentence, for example. The munificent millionaire gave money to practically every charity that came along. He was well-loved for his munificence.
That same millionaire, however, might also squander huge amounts of money on worthless items just to satisfy his fragile ego. Squander means to waste. This guy's been known to squander millions on ping pong balls. He wants to fill the Grand Canyon with them. What a waste. Squander.
Aggregate means the sum total, a collection of things mixed together. This section of WordSmart, for example, is an aggregate of different words that all describe large amounts of things, and what can happen to or be done with large amounts of things. And following this final word will be a list which is an aggregate of the words we just learned. Here it is. Prodigious.
Enormous or extraordinary.
Prodigy.
A gifted child.
Prolific.
Very productive or fruitful.
Proliferate.
To spread or to grow.
Plethora.
A great deal or an excess.
Munificent.
Generous or lavishly giving.
Squander.
To squander is to waste.
And finally, aggregate.
A combination or collection of things.
Now we're going to put those words to practical use. You're about to hear a man describe his line of work.
The job of organizing an international tour for a symphony orchestra isn't easy. There are countless tasks to attend to and a prodigious number of details. We're not a rich organization, so we depend largely upon the munificence of wealthy sponsors. Unfortunately, many potential sponsors look upon donations to the orchestra as a waste, just money squandered. But I try to convince them otherwise. Our orchestra is a collection of a wide variety of people. It's an aggregate of artists and managers. Unfortunately, with such a large number of people, such a plethora of personalities, fights are frequent. And it just gets worse as the season wears on. Arguments multiply, disputes proliferate. Our program on this tour will be devoted mostly to Mozart, who wrote hundreds of great pieces of music. He was one of the most prolific of all great classical composers. Like Mozart, our 9-year-old piano soloist is a world-renowned prodigy. She's very gifted, if not a little preoccupied by Saturday morning cartoons.
Now let's take a look at the other side of the coin and learn those words which describe nothing, or at least not a lot. Here they are.
If you have practically no money, you have a paucity of wealth. Paucity means scarcity, an insufficiency. A pauper, for example, has a paucity of cash, or the paucity of fresh vegetables at the market forced us to buy frozen ones.
A word that means very close to the same thing as paucity is dearth. Dearth means lack or, like paucity, scarcity. For example, when there is a dearth of food, people will go hungry. Or you can turn it around like this. There is no dearth of comedy at the clown convention. The comedy is everywhere.
A person who is living on a tight budget will look for items they can buy at a nominal cost. Nominal means insignificant or small, being named as a mere formality. The cost was nominal in comparison to what we received. Here's another. The rain, while a pain, had a nominal effect on our fun at the football game. We had a blast.
Getting back to tight budgets, being frugal can be as much a quality of some wealthy people as it is of those without large fortunes. Frugal means economical, or penny-pinching. Hannah's frugality annoyed her husband, who loved nothing better than to spend money. Furthermore, we were as frugal as we could be, but we still ended up several thousand dollars in debt.
Someone who takes frugality too far could be called parsimonious. Parsimony means stinginess. Take, for example, the old widow who was so parsimonious she hung her tea bags out to dry on her clothesline so she'd be able to use them again.
Well, perhaps it's just that she was alarmed by the attrition among the tea shops in her area. Attrition means a gradual loss or a natural and expected decrease in numbers and size. Single-sex colleges, the few that are left, have the highest rates of attrition among most colleges in America. Many speculate that the students leave to finish their education at schools with students of both sexes.
And while we're on the topic of small amounts, let's look at minuscule. Sounding a lot like what it means, minuscule means very tiny. Sheila's skirt was so minuscule it could have passed for a belt. Or Arnold knew his father was exaggerating when he told him it would only take a minuscule effort to clean up his room.
And finally, when you've got a minuscule amount of money, penury is the word for you. Penury means poverty. Having blown his lottery winnings on plastic kazoos, Mark was reduced to penury. He'd better get a job.
Okay, That's it for the nothing words. Here's a quick list of the words for review. After this, we'll put them into the larger context of another life story.
Paucity.
A scarcity, an insufficiency.
Dearth.
A lack, a scarcity.
Nominal.
Insignificant or small.
Frugal.
Economical or penny-pinching.
Parsimony.
Parsimony means stinginess.
Attrition.
A gradual expected decrease in numbers.
Minuscule.
Very, very small.
Penury.
Poverty. Here now is a life story that will contain the nothing words we just looked at.
Our income here at the convent is so minimal, we are forced to live a life of penury. But even though we must watch every penny and be frugal almost to a fault, there is still room for charity. Just because we're poor doesn't mean we have to be parsimonious. Where do we get our money, you ask? Well, donations, of course. And we do ask those who wish to become a part of our convent for a small initiation fee. Just a nominal payment, really. So small, you might even call it minuscule. Actually, I shouldn't have even mentioned it, since we almost never get a chance to collect it anymore. You see, not only have our ranks grown smaller due to attrition, but there has also been a noticeable dearth of newcomers in recent years. Ah, well, I suppose young people today just aren't tough enough for a life lacking ordinary comforts and a paucity of even the simplest material items, not to mention luxuries.
There. Now we've covered both halves of all or nothing. To review, we'll mix things up a bit. During the pause that follows each word, try to fill in the definition. Then you'll hear an excerpt from the speech in which it appeared, followed by the definition, and finally, another example. Here are the words from All or Nothing. Nominal.
A small initiation fee, just a nominal payment.
Nominal means insignificant or small, in name only. A nominal payment is almost none at all.
Prolific.
He was one of the most prolific of all great classical composers.
Prolific is very productive or fruitful. Mozart wrote hundreds of pieces of music. He was prolific. Squander.
Sponsors look upon donations to the orchestra as a waste, just money squandered.
To squander is to waste. The sponsor didn't want to squander money. They can't afford to waste it. Plethora.
Such a large number of people, such a plethora of personalities.
A plethora is a whole lot, or excess. There's no plethora of rich people who want to give away their money.
Attrition.
Our ranks have grown smaller due to attrition.
Attrition means a gradual decrease in numbers. There are fewer nuns now because of attrition. Minuscule.
So small, you might even call it minuscule.
Something minuscule is very, very small. An atom is a minuscule particle.
Prodigious.
There are countless tasks to attend to and a prodigious number of details.
Prodigious means very large, extraordinary. Building the pyramids was a prodigious task.
Parsimony.
Just because we're poor doesn't mean we have to be parsimonious.
Parsimony. Stinginess. Don't be so parsimonious. Lend me a nickel.
Munificence.
We're not a rich organization, so we depend largely upon the munificence of wealthy sponsors.
Munificence is generosity. I benefit from the munificence of my rich grandmother.
Paucity.
Young people today just aren't tough enough for a life lacking ordinary comforts and a paucity of even the simplest material items, not to mention luxuries.
Paucity means a really small amount. I suffer from a paucity of vacation time. I'm always at work. Penury.
Our income here at the convent is so minimal, we are forced to live a life of penury.
Penury is another good word for poverty. Actors, like nuns, often live a life of penury.
Aggregate.
Our orchestra is an aggregate of artists and managers.
An aggregate is a combination or collection of items, like this word list. Proliferate.
Arguments multiply, disputes proliferate.
To proliferate is to grow or spread. My knowledge of words proliferates as I listen to Word Smart.
Frugal.
We must watch every penny and be frugal almost to a fault.
To be frugal is to be economical. If you're low on cash, then you'd better be frugal. Dearth.
There has also been a noticeable dearth of newcomers in recent years.
A dearth is a scarcity or a lack.
I suffer from a dearth of free time, too. I'm also always at work. Prodigy.
Like Mozart, our 9-year-old piano soloist is a world-renowned prodigy.
A prodigy is an extremely gifted child. Anyone who is master of anything at a young age could be called a prodigy. That's it for All or Nothing. Review the words by taking a look at their spelling on the enclosed insert card. And before we move on to the next group, let's talk briefly about mnemonic devices.
A mnemonic device is any little trick you make up to remember something. The classic example, of course, is tying a string around your finger to remind you to do something.
For example, the mnemonic I use to remember parsimonious is parsley. Parse makes me think of parsley, which is a very stingy meal if that's all you've got on your plate. Anyone who would serve you only parsley is parsimonious or stingy.
It's generally best for you to make up your own mnemonic. You can use other people's, but you'll remember your own more easily. When you have a chance, review the words we've learned on the enclosed insert card. Look at their spellings and roots and see what mnemonics you can come up with to remember those tough ones. Meanwhile, let's return to our word groups.